there. No, I'm just as surprised as you are. Welcome in to what we are officially calling the Josh Briscoe Show right here on 96.5 The Fan. I, obviously, should be Josh Briscoe. We got James Howe pushing the buttons on the other side of the glass. And this is a brand new show beginning right now. You're hearing the first moments of this wonderful program for the very first time here on 96.5 The Fan. I think it's going to be roughly 96.5% Chiefs over the next 2 hours and about 13.5% nonsense, because I do believe in my ability to get 110% worth of content into this show, because I can, when necessary, just talk faster than anyone ever should on the radio. You may be hearing my voice for the very first time, and you may wonder, who exactly is this fella and why should we be listening to him talk about the Chiefs? Or maybe you're thinking, hey, Josh, I've heard you before. Either way, very happy to have you with us here tonight. Very happy to be here with you tonight for the debut journey of the program. I'll give you a brief background on what I do and maybe some key factoids about me to get down the first level of what you need to know, your Josh Briscoe 101, if you will. And then we'll get into so many fascinating things from Chiefs Niners. We may even look ahead a little bit to Chiefs Raiders. And Matt Verderam of SI will join us at 8, as we will talk certainly a ton of Chiefs, a little bit around the rest of the league. Plus, it just feels like there's another piece of news coming down the line pretty much 24/7 right now, much of it about San Francisco 49er wide receiver issues. Certainly unfortunate. And the Chiefs obviously have had more than their fair share of those injury woes as well. That will put us on track throughout the show. Now, I would love to hear from you. You can either tweet me at JB Briscoe. I would not encourage you to be on Twitter for any other reason, but if you do want to communicate that way, I have a special secret version of TweetDeck that I have on my laptop here, so I can see this in real time. If you want to tweet me at JB Briscoe, or the text line 913-586-7965. You can text in the text line. I've got that screen up as well. So I'm going to make it easy for you to reach out tonight if you've got something you'd like to chime in about, either about the Chiefs or some other form of nonsense. Here's what I think you ought to know, as I see Troy Aikman on a TV screen. My reputation is, for better or for worse, forever tied to the Dallas Cowboys Hall of Famer, but it's not what I'm going to open with, because here's what you need to know. At some point over the course of most of these shows, and certainly in the grand scheme of things, we will have brief sojourns to talk about Pokemon. And if you can accept that now, it's going to make everything easier. It's just going to come up. I'm not breaking down my top five of the original 151, although I do have a PowerPoint about the top five Pokemon that I would eat given the opportunity. But that's not the main thing. It's just going to happen at times. I do have a passion for the majestic Virginia possum, because did you know that the possum is North America's only native marsupial? Like a kangaroo or a wallaby. It's got a pouch. That's an amazing thing that we don't appreciate enough. And we've got them all over. I have a possum in my backyard. I mean, it's, you know, on occasion, but I see it now and again. Brings great joy. So that's very important to me as well. As I mentioned, Troy Aikman is not a huge fan of mine. The entire sort of feud between Aikman and Patrick Mahomes was unintentionally completely my fault. That started on a podcast I used to do called Time's Ours. That's now essentially the same show, only Weird Games. Maybe you've heard me over there, as well as one Nate Taylor. We make up 2/3 of that beautiful program. I am married. Sorry, ladies. My wife Renee and I have 2 perfect dogs, one of them named Scout, a little white fluffy angel. And then we have a 3-legged mini schnauzer, he's adorable. I get mixed reactions from people when I tell them that his name is Hopper. James laughed. I was barreling through the glass to make sure.
I couldn't help myself. That was too funny, buddy.
That's the reaction that we go for. And like, we're Stranger Things fans. I dressed up as Hopper from Stranger Things for Halloween a couple of years ago. There are other explanations, but it's the way he moves. He's a very happy puppy, even though we call him a Hop. I have a bad pancreas that almost killed me a few years ago. I didn't kill me. So now I have just sort of like regular type 1 diabetes and a pretty good story to tell. And the main thing you may see me doing if you follow me on socials or just across the internet, again, in addition to Only Weird Games, I'm the editor of ChiefsOnSI.com. That's Sports Illustrated's On SI Network. All the Chiefs coverage that comes through that vertical is work that will, in some way or another, end up being produced by either myself or deputy editor and future guest of the Josh Briscoe Show, Jordan Foote. We'll have him on at some point as well. Matt Verderam, again, who we'll talk to at 8. He works for the mothership there at SI, so he gets a little bit of the entire NFL national view, but he's always been an absolute delight to talk Chiefs with, and I'm very much looking forward to being able to do that with him tonight as well. I think I still know. I'm on a bike, you know. I'm pedaling to see, does it still feel like something I can do again? And so far, it feels like riding a bike after you haven't ridden a bike for, like, you know, 6-8 months or whatever it may be. I don't need training wheels, but we'll make sure that these two tires continue moving in a positive direction, and we will have, again, mercifully, because the Chiefs continue to be fascinating while being undefeated, we will have plenty to discuss here tonight. I see at least one excited, happy text on the text line. That makes me feel good. Again, you can chime in on the text line, tweet me at JB Briscoe, and we'll hang out for the next 2 hours here to talk mostly Chiefs. And then if I have an opportunity to talk about Pokemon possums or my two dogs, we'll get there as well. Here's the funny thing about where the Chiefs stand at this point. This is super big picture, and we're just going to narrow in on a few different issues, a few specific different parts of this team that I find fascinating. We'll narrow down to those throughout the show as we go. But the big zoomed out, catch your breath context of where this team stands now is so funny when you remember how you feel every Saturday or Thursday or Monday or every day of the week, but Tuesday this year, you'll probably feel those feelings on the Wednesday of Christmas and the Saturday before against the Texans as well. The Chiefs, as the aforementioned podcast is titled after, they only play weird games. They only play stressful games. Even when the final score is a 10-point spread, you never feel completely confident the whole way through. Week 3 against the Bears last year with Taylor Swift making her Arrowhead debut, that was the last time that I think it felt like a game was just totally enjoyable wire to wire. And I'm not bemoaning that fact. In fact, I kind of love it, because part of the reason this is all so fun is because you never actually know what's going to happen every any given Sunday or Monday or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But throughout this process, as the Chiefs have lost wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2, running back 1, cornerback 2, it sounds like with Jalen Watson, defensive end 2, 1 or 2, depending on your view of Charles Omenihu, defensive end 3, Mike Dana. Throughout all of the waves that this team has gone through to this point, all of the spilled ink and all of the conversations around here about how maybe this will be the thing that cuts the legs out under this three-peat campaign, I think most of the time, most of that analysis is fair, reasonable, even mostly correct. The Chiefs' offense cannot withstand all of these injuries and continue to look like the version of themselves we've seen in years past. That's actually true. It's not the same team, though. It doesn't need to be the same offense. It doesn't need to be the same Super Bowl winning team from the year prior or the year prior from that, as absolutely bonkers as it is to continue to talk about this team as reigning back-to-back champions. But the most amazing thing about where the Chiefs stand right now isn't even just that they're the last undefeated team in the NFL. Because that matters, and that's cool, but it's not the direct correlation to playoff success that the number one seed in your own conference brings you. The Chiefs here now, through 6 games, 7 weeks of NFL football, a good chunk into the season, not quite halfway, but a little more than a third, right? I'm okay at some math, not all math. Simple fractions. Just a challenge every time. The Chiefs are at a point now where not only are they the only undefeated team in the league, the only undefeated team in the AFC, no one else in the AFC has even one loss. They are two games up on everybody, including teams that, like the Baltimore Ravens, who have really kind of gotten their stuff figured out a little bit. You're seeing what they look like, frankly, against defenses who aren't as good as the ones that the Chiefs have. You're seeing how good Derrick Henry looks when it's not against this absolutely gargantuan Chiefs run defense that we've just accepted as simple, true fact at this point. The Chiefs have two games and a handful of tiebreakers with several more tiebreaking opportunities still to come over everybody else in their conference. I talk about this when the schedule comes out. It's maybe the only part of like schedule release day or week or whatever that I actually care about. It's, you know, any NFL thing that can get turned into an event, we're going to get an event out of now, and that's all well and good. But the part that matters is to figure out what your team's path is to the one seed, because that's a first round bye. It means you're resting that week instead of putting your body through the ringer. And it means even if you're the Chiefs, even if you are well favored over a team like the Miami Dolphins at home in a game that's going to be -400 degrees, you cannot be upset if you are not playing. And the Chiefs acknowledge this as much as an Andy Reid team ever acknowledges, like, what a bigger picture goal is. Every once in a while, a player will say something along the lines of, you know, we're here to win the division and then to try to get the one seed and then win the Super Bowl, right? That's the only thing you can really accomplish meaningfully in the regular season, other than just escaping with your health. And certainly by the Chiefs standards, right? I mean, there are a lot of NFL teams that would sell a piece of their soul, or maybe all of their soul, to win a division. Yeah, the Browns kind of tried that. It didn't work, but the Chiefs certainly do care about the AFC West, and they care about the division, because if they weren't winning the division, it means something horrendous has happened. But this team's only real metric right now is Super Bowls. Again, something that maybe you need to do this for yourself, and maybe you don't. Maybe you do this every day. Sometimes I have to stop and remind myself. I saw that stat going around that the last team to have three quarterbacks make like 10 or more attempts in a game until last week was the Damon Heward, Tyler Thigpen. Was Brody Croyle the third one? I can't remember now. One of those unholy trifectas of that era of Chiefs quarterbacking. I never want to lose sight of the fact that we are talking about the unequivocally true fact that the Kansas City Chiefs are measured by nothing but Super Bowls at this point. Because I never believed that I would see this team at that standard.
Oh man, we've come a long way.
We've come marathons. Like we have rounded the sun enough times. Alex Smith beating the Texans mm-hmm. was the first Chiefs playoff win of my lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm right there with you.
There's a pretty big window, actually.
I'm 36 years old, and I'm right there.
It is a remarkable place to be able to plant your flag in that kind of success as your standard. It's also the thing that comes with all of the baggage the Chiefs have been carrying this season. You have expectations. Underachieving those, even in cosmetic ways. The Chiefs are undefeated, as I mentioned, if you've forgotten that. When the Chiefs look cosmetically not as good as they have in years past, you begin to wonder. We did that to the Patriots for two decades. Oh, the Patriots finally lost in the first 4 weeks. Maybe Tom Brady's washed. Other teams are doing that now because the Chiefs are that team. And so for all the things we're going to talk about over the course of the next now hour and 45 here tonight, all of it has to be filtered through this unbelievable context of the fact that the Chiefs are not only the reigning back-to-back champions. This isn't don't worry about the season. You should worry about the season. We worry about the season because we have fun doing it. This is This is a good way for us to spend our time. We love this. Worry about it. Stress about it. Talk about wide receiver 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, however far the depth chart needs to go. But remember, not only the context of the last 2 years and the standard that the Chiefs have for themselves, remember the fact that right now, 10 days till Halloween, the Chiefs have a 2-game advantage on everybody else in the conference for the only thing you can really win in the regular season, that number one overall seed. There's a long way to go. There are a lot of issues. There's a lot of fun stuff and less fun stuff to talk about. And boy, howdy, are we going to get to a lot of it here tonight on the debut edition of the Josh Briscoe Show on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to The Josh Briscoe Show, Monday nights starting at 7 on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, it's Bob Fesco, and you don't have to keep
one
living
up,
with
down.
All of that joint pain.
7 more to go.
Real, lasting relief is possible with help from QC Kinetics. People here are getting their lives back, getting their mobility back, thanks to QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in cellular therapies that can revitalize your joints. And I'm talking about advanced regenerative medicine, using your own body's healing properties, highly concentrated and carefully placed in your achy joint. Back pain, shoulder pain, knee pain. These are cutting-edge treatments that require no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. It's a quick in-office procedure that can get you moving again. You owe it to yourself to learn more. Call QC Kinetics today for your free consultation. 816-412-6299. That's 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics off 435 in State Line and in Gladstone. 816-412-6299.
The IRS is ramping up collection, and if you owe back taxes or have years of unfiled tax returns, listen carefully before it's too late. Check your eligibility for the Fresh Start program still offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax problems. Call our special hotline number now and find out in minutes if you qualify for these life-changing debt reduction programs. Business or personal, if you're in a payment plan with no end in sight, have unfiled tax returns under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or finally just want to know your options, call the experts at Republic Tax Relief and stop collections immediately. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau with a 5-star rating from Yelp, this veteran-owned company has the fight you need to take on the IRS. Don't go at it alone. Call their hotline number now, 800-554-6899. That's 800-554-6899. Find out if you qualify today. Call 800-554-6899 or go to republictaxrelief.com.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-909-8122. 800-909-8122. 800-909-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Every 4 years, the world watches. Every corner kick, every save, every pass. The world watches its most beautiful game played at its highest level. And for a moment, the world stops turning for soccer. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank sponsor of FIFA World Cup 2026, supporting possibilities turned into achievements on the biggest stage. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Ernie Hudson here. I'm turning 79 this year, and you know what comes with age? Wisdom. Like choosing to get an RSV vaccine. RSV is a highly contagious virus. that can land older adults in the hospital. Adults like me, 75 or older, or those 60 or older with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or diabetes. Check eligibility and schedule an RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Welcome to your new home for Chiefs football.
First and 10 at the Niner 18-yard line. Here comes the end around on a jet sweep. It goes to Hardman, cuts it back, and goes into the end zone right to left on the jet sweep. Mecole Hardman in 22. He had three touchdowns, and now another touchdown here in 2024 on a right to left jet sweep.
Welcome to 96.5, The Fan.
The Josh Briscoe Show here on 96.5 The Fan. Got a text earlier that said, didn't know you had a bad pancreas too. I think I'd like to create the Bad Pancreas Club if it's pancreatitis, diabetes, other forms of pancreatic nonsense. It's also a very phallic looking organ. Google the pancreas if you haven't done that recently. Wild looking. Not the point. I also don't have any Pokemon to compare it to, so can't even check that box just yet. Again, we'll talk to Matt Verderam here in a little while, coming up at 8 o'clock. But I want to do something that I've tried to do. Also, I should have mentioned in the first segment that you may have heard me throughout the Monday, Wednesday, Friday across the daytime shows here on the station, on with Fesco and Dusty on Mondays, and then on with CDOT in Wednesdays in the afternoon, and then Cody and Gold on Fridays. So maybe you've heard me bouncing around through there, or if not, tune in, why don't you? And we've had a good time. Really enjoyed getting to chat with those guys throughout the week. But something that I said this morning to the fellows that I have tried to implement for myself, I'm going to try to do it here as well now, drilling in on the first like specific issue of where the Chiefs are at right now. Not issue isn't bad thing, just topic. One day after the Chiefs' highest scoring performance of the season, I want to start with the defense. I think they've earned it. As I mentioned in the first segment, you know, the undefeated stretch that the Chiefs are on right now, alone at the top of the AFC by two games, on top of the NFL by one. I think it's pretty evident. I think we all know they would not be here. They would not be in that position if it wasn't for how excellent the defense has been to this point. What they did to the Niners in the first half yesterday is really the amazing part to me. So according to the Fox broadcast, the Niners entered that game with 5-3 and outs through their first six games, according to Fox. In the first half, remember when the Chiefs have given up scoring plays in the opening drives to opposing teams throughout the season. That also has not been an issue for me because I think it's in large part Spags kind of seeing what's in front of them and learning a little bit about the offense, adjust, pivot. We'll go ahead and shut you down from here. But not against the Niners. In the first half, the 49ers had 3-3 and outs entering the game with 5 on the season. They had 3-3 and outs, 2-4 play drives, and the 1 play drive, the Brock Purdy interception, the first play of that drive, before that long field goal drive to end the half. That field goal drive to end the half, at that point in the game, really, was also still a win for the Chiefs defensively, because the Niners really needed to pay off a touchdown there, as the rest of the game went on to prove. Jordan Mason actually had the best day of a starting running back against the Chiefs at this point this season. He did it with the mind-boggling stat line of 14 carries, 58 yards. 58 yards is the best performance from a running back against the Chiefs so far this year. Lamar Jackson is a different animal, and obviously the quarterback position, specifically the sort of traditional run game. And obviously the Chiefs did a pretty good job of handling the Ravens defensively as well. But again, I'm putting it to the side for the moment. Derrick Henry, 46 rushing yards. Zach Moss, 34. Bijan Robinson, 31. J.K. Dobbins, 32. Alvin Kamara, 26. I don't know exactly what happened. I have some theories we can get to. Actually, I do have one big one for what this year has been. But the Chiefs' run defense, after years, going back to Chiefs-Titans AFC Championship game, I remember I was writing for The Athletic at the time, And I remember writing a whole thing about, like, guys, Derrick Henry is not going to be the reason the Chiefs do or don't go to a Super Bowl. Derrick Henry will not beat for beat stand there with Patrick Mahomes and derail this. It's going to be all these other factors. And he didn't, obviously. But after all these years of, like, oh, you know, Chris Jones, freelance, pass rush, whatever, the Chiefs, they just can't stop the run. If you just run the ball and keep Mahomes on the sidelines and win time of possession. That was this narrative for so long. Most of the time it was incorrect. But we're at a point now where against a team like the 49ers, stopping the run and making everything stuffier for that offense, something Spags is so good at doing to Shanahan offenses, that is actually an incredible first move in that game of chess. Shanahan likes to play with a lot of heavier personnel. You have Juszczyk out there a lot. Obviously, Kittle's pretty much always out there. That lets the Chiefs play in base personnel a little more. You saw a lot of usage for all of Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil, and Leo Chanel. Leo kind of in and out in terms of his role throughout the year. He's kind of a matchup piece while also being, in the chess analogy, a queen. Where, like, he could go any direction. Well, you don't usually want him going backwards. But he even had a pass breakup yesterday. If Leo Chanel's breaking up passes, what can this defense not do? But against the Niners in particular, I think this is part of the reason that this is a good matchup for the Chiefs, and it has been a good matchup for the Chiefs. Again, they want to go with heavier personnel sets so the Chiefs can respond in kind. They want to go more condensed so Spags can blitz corners off the edge without really showing the game there, and you still get that fastest path to the quarterback. You've also had a defensive player of the year type of season so far for Chris Jones. Trent McDuffie is a superstar. He's a top five corner in the NFL, and the only reason I don't want to argue about higher than top five is because once you get into that top five, choose your flavor. If you'd rather have Pat Surtain or Sauce Gardner for X, Y, or Z reason, depending on who your defensive coordinator is, fine and dandy. I'm not sure Spags would trade Trent McDuffie for any other corner in the league. Within all of that, and you heard Brady mention this on the broadcast. We talked about this a little bit today at the morning show. I think I enjoyed Tom Brady's broadcast for the most part. I specifically really did value when he was talking about the quarterback play, partially because it is admittedly extremely fun to listen to the standing greatest quarterback of all time just gush about Patrick Mahomes. It feels good. That respect has obviously been mutual. Brady can afford to do it because he got to retire as the one man to have vanquished Mahomes in the playoffs twice. It's not really, you know, quarterbacks don't really go head-to-head. The Chiefs' offensive line in the Super Bowl had something to do with it. The Chiefs' defense in the AFC Championship game against Brady had something to do with it. But Mahomes can, or Brady can hold that narrative if he'd like. I think that's fair enough. Listening to Brady talk about how lost Brock Purdy looked at times, watching what Spags was able to do, not even with his most exotic suite of pressures. They played a lot of man coverage. What you saw on Sunday was Steve Spagnuolo having the definitive coaching advantage over a guy who has been widely considered one of the best coaching minds, specifically in this last decade or so of the NFL. And that's the standard? It really is. I know they got to take a break. I'm gonna have to get used to these 4-segment hours. I'm long-winded. And these are shorter segments. I'm gonna get my feet set shortly. I promise. But the biggest part of all of that, I think, to this point, is that of the entire Chiefs defense, The most used newcomer this season has been Jaden Hicks, who's only really been in when Justin Reed has been out due to injury. We've seen 6 total snaps from Cam Thomas. Now, Chris Roland Wallace got some work yesterday, but especially entering yesterday's game, it was like a dozen snaps or something for Jaden Hicks. Anyone with more than whatever that cutoff was, 13, 14 snaps, anyone in that bracket and above has been in this defense for at least 1 year. Every starter and every major role player has their degree in Spagnuolo-ology. Well, I remember Justin Reed saying in training camp before his second year here, he said that he didn't fully feel completely comfortable, like a full mastery of the defense, until week 12 or 13 in year one. I think it was against the Bengals. I don't remember exactly what week it was, but it was more than 10 games into the year before he really felt like he was settled into Spags' defense and understood everything that was going on. And that's not uncommon. Everybody in Spags' defense has some sort of story like that of, okay, I'm holding on for dear life. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm seeing the Matrix. And so much of this defense is seeing every lever that Spags wants to pull. There is incredible communication. There is understood chemistry. And that leads to me, a defense with two elite players, Chris Jones and Trent McDuffie, a lot of really good players. I don't want to get caught in the semantics, but two elite ones, an elite defensive coordinator, and I believe an elite defensive backs coach. That recipe, with a mastery of the scheme and an understanding of what they're trying to do, experience as a unit, has created one of the best defenses in the NFL, and that defense is the main reason that Patrick Mahomes' team is undefeated right now, 6 games, 7 weeks into the NFL season. It's an unbelievable thing. Will they be able to do that without Jalen Watson for however long that's going to be? We'll talk about that next here on The Josh Briscoe Show on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to The Josh Briscoe Show, Monday night starting at 7 on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Every 4 years, the world watches. Every corner kick, every save, every pass. The world watches its most beautiful game played at its highest level. And for a moment, the world stops turning for soccer. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank sponsor of FIFA World Cup 2026, helping to bring the game's biggest tournament to Kansas City. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
put a sheet on it
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Put a sheet on it.
Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Put a sheet on it.
Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry...
Hey, diamond lovers. Shane Company knows fine jewelry. That means a lot when you're looking for a dream engagement ring, a beautiful keepsake, or the perfect gift. When it's this important, you want someone who knows exactly how to work with your budget. Not against it. Someone who knows you deserve a piece more beautiful than you've ever imagined. Through 4 generations as a family business, we've always sourced our diamonds and gemstones directly, cut out the middleman, and passed the savings on to you. Come see us in store and compare our wide selection of diamonds, rubies, and a rainbow of sapphires in different shapes and sizes. So many in stock and ready to take home today. Create your dream engagement ring in 3 easy steps. Or pick a perfectly preset ring that's created by our in-house design team. Browse our selection of fine jewelry gifts for everyone in your life. From diamond and gemstone studs to must-have tennis bracelets and beautiful birthstone necklaces. With our everyday competitive prices and unmatched free lifetime warranty, Shane Company is your go-to destination for fine jewelry. Visit shaneco.com and come in to see for yourself. Shane Company, your friend and jeweler.
Paid for client portrayal and endorsement. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. Past results afford no guarantee of future results, and every case is different and must be judged on its own merits.
I got hurt in a car wreck. Give me one good reason why I should call DM Law.
How about 3 great reasons you should call us? 1, it's easy. You can hire us today on your phone. 2, it's fast. We can start helping you today. 3, the results. Just listen to this.
After my wreck, DM Law got me $300,000.
Call me. I've got this.
816-888-7500. Mike's got this.
Hi, we're your friends who get super excited about the holidays.
We sure are, or this isn't the ugliest holiday sweater ever.
People think we're happy because we love peppermint lattes.
Or catching snowflakes on our tongues.
But really, it's because...
It's holiday millionaire raffle season!
It's your best odds to win $1 million.
That's dollars, not twinkling lights, but that would be great too.
Play the Kansas Lottery Holiday Millionaire Raffle. Get excited!
See KSLottery.com for details.
This is the story of the one.
As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's gotta be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at salsa night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
Three and two and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools that help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.
Welcome to your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Still the Josh Briscoe Show here on 96.5 The Fan. Produced by James Howe on the other side of the glass, who is explicitly not to blame for the fact that some of you heard at least a little bit of me over the air during the first commercial break. I got a text from aforementioned wife Renee. I can hear you during the break. I went, oh God, what did I say? I think what I said was however many segments we had remaining in today's show. And then something about me not hearing the mic volume earlier because I didn't have the volume mic turned up. I can control my own microphone in here, which is something I'm thrilled for now. Thank you, James. Something I did not know 30 minutes ago. Like the kid in the candy store in here right now. Like Willy Wonka.
Yeah, technology is great.
It's amazing.
Until it isn't.
Yeah, I mean, well, look,
I mean, yeah.
Terrestrial radio is a fickle and fantastical beast.
Yeah, sure.
You've got a lot of wires plugged into a lot of places, and somehow lots of people are hearing. Theoretically, lots of people are hearing this. Lots of people have the ability to hear this. And at least my wife is listening. So that's something.
There's a plus.
We got somebody. Although if I don't hear from her now, we can assume she stuck around for the first two segments and then decided it was time to do something else, which I honestly, you know.
Yeah, that's the same thing mine does.
She hears a lot of my Chiefs takes pretty much constantly,
sure, yeah.
Barreling throughout the house and whatnot. I'm just constantly walking around and cursing about injuries and Jalen Watson. Which brings us to the topic I teased you with at the end of the last segment, because this is genuinely just an enormous bummer. Every injury is an enormous bummer. But Jalen Watson reportedly has a fractured ankle. Andy Reid didn't quite confirm that today, but post-game and earlier today, he said that, you know, wasn't looking good. They are assuming a long-term thing. And then Jalen Watson just maybe an hour or two ago, maybe it might have been more than that, but earlier this evening, just tweeted out like a breaking heart emoji. Fractures could be anything. There's obviously an enormous scope of what his timeline to return could be. If there's more damage than just the fracture, it could be season ending. If it's just some sort of break, maybe he's back down the stretch. But either way, it's kind of a devastating blow for the defense I was just talking about. He's one of those guys that is obviously well into his time, completely understanding this defense. And I think he gave a lot of us the ability to forget the most concerning storyline of training camp this year, which is that no one was winning that second cornerback job opposite Trent McDuffie. Watson was working his way back because he had had it was surgery on his labrum that he played through for a huge chunk of the season. He got surgery in the offseason, and then he missed, you know, offseason activities and ramped up in a non-contact jersey and was involved very late in training camp, if any. And then he played deep into the final preseason game, and he did not look good. He looked, of course, rusty, like a player who had not played any contact football in 6 months or whatever it had been to that point. And then week one came around and he was a lockdown. And Spags and Dave Merritt, I'm sure, were finding ways to give him an assistance that they weren't often giving to Trent McDuffie. But they were not compensating for Jalen Watson. They weren't covering for Jalen Watson. He was playing really, really, really good football, and he took an absolute stranglehold on that job. just as automatic as Trent McDuffie being on the field was Jalen Watson being out there opposite him. And now it seems like, that, if not quite a house of cards, not quite a Jenga tower, maybe it is a Jenga tower, because you can remove a block and reorient it, and it can keep standing, but it's a little less stable than it was before. I'm going to go Jenga block for Jalen Watson. He was such a remarkably well-timed, no-questions-asked starter for this defense. And I am not as confident in everybody behind him. Now, I do believe that Spags and Merritt deserve as much benefit of the doubt as any coordinator and position coach in football, honestly. The production that they have gotten out of corners, ranging from very, very early in the draft, first-round pick Trent McDuffie, to some 200-plus picks later, drafting Jalen Watson, turning Legarius Sneed into one of the best corners in the sport, getting the best even out of guys like Nazir Johnson, who we're going to see a lot more of. They have earned that benefit of the doubt, but it's not automatic, and it's not easy. And the guy that I thought was probably in the driver's seat to start in week one did not get defensive snaps before yesterday, and that's Joshua Williams. An interesting thing happened with Joshua Williams. He played 32 snaps in the first game of the year against Baltimore. He played 6 defensive snaps against Cincinnati. And he did not play another defensive snap until yesterday when Watson got hurt. Watson gets hurt. Johnson gets more run. Chris Roland Wallace, I believe, had 1 snap against New Orleans. And he played quite a bit more yesterday. Obviously got one of those picks, as did Jaden Hicks. Again, 2 of the rookies who had seen barely any of the field get 2 of the 3 interceptions of Brock Purdy on the day. That is not lost on me. But Joshua Williams kind of fell out of favor. Nazir Johnson seemed to jump him, and that makes some sense. He was getting quite a bit of run, what was that now, 2 years ago now, before training camp, I suppose, a year and a half? In training camp before he tore his ACL when they were practicing indoors that day. Deeply unfortunate for a young player who's now getting a shot again. But Nazir Johnson has had a couple of moments when you think, like, ooh, I'm not sure I want him to be the bullseye for an opposing offense. Watson was never that. Or this year, I should say. This year, Watson was never that. You could not simply look away from Trent McDuffie and just fire the football at Jalen Watson and assume that you were going to get your, you know, Phillip Gaines matchup over there. And that's what they need now. What if it's Nazir Johnson or Chris Roland Wallace or Joshua Williams, the Chiefs need to make sure that their second corner isn't a liability. And I do assume that Spags and Merritt will find the right answer amongst the players to be that guy, and that they're going to get the best out of their choice possible. But there's a reason that Jalen Watson won that job and that it was not some ongoing competition. And so that does present me with a little bit of pause. I'm going to give my little bit of long-term optimism on Chris Roland Wallace for something that I think is interesting, which is that he made the initial 53-man roster as an undrafted free agent. He made it over some guys who were getting quite a bit of run in training camp, who seemed like they could be kind of the veteran logical fit. Kelvin Joseph, Keith Taylor, Nick Jones, Darius Rush, Eric Scott, Keith Taylor. Those 4 guys are all still on the practice squad now. If Watson goes to IR, presumably you'll see one of those guys get the call up. There's a conversation to be had. They'll be able to shuffle those chairs. But for all of the excellent things the defense has been able to produce to this point, losing Jalen Watson is a really big deal. I'm also pretty proud of myself. We've made it 45 minutes, and we've barely talked about the offense, and I haven't talked about receivers at all. We'll amend that when we come back from the break here. It's the Josh Briscoe Show on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to The Josh Briscoe Show, Monday night starting at 7 on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
MD Anderson Cancer Center is again ranked number 1 in the nation for cancer care by U.S. News & World Report's Best Hospitals Rankings. Our physicians treat more types of cancers in a day than many see in their whole career. This unmatched depth of expertise, combined with our groundbreaking discoveries, gives our patients access to the most innovative treatment options. Learn more at mdanderson.org.
Our favorite reason to choose Diamonds Direct over any other jeweler? Free service for life with no fine print. That's right. When you buy your engagement ring or any piece of jewelry at Diamonds Direct, you will never have to pay a dime in the future for sizing, cleaning, or routine maintenance. At Diamonds Direct, there's no gotcha clause, no fine print, no looking for ways to void the warranty. Diamonds Direct, the jeweler you can trust with the no questions asked 100% free lifetime warranty with no strings attached. Come see us to learn more.
Reason number 52 to choose Diamonds Direct over any other jeweler. Only Diamonds Direct gives you a 110% diamond upgrade guarantee. Diamonds Direct will give you 110% of your original purchase price toward the new stone. That's 10% more than you paid the first time. Guaranteed appreciation. Who else does this? There's no fine print and no minimum purchase requirement. It's 10% more, period. Buy with confidence. Diamonds Direct. Your love. Our passion.
We could try to explain what it feels like to get your work done on a John Deere. The way a Z-Track mower finishes in half the time you thought it would. Or how much easier it is to move mountains of soil with a 1-Series tractor. We could even go into detail about how it feels to tow up to 4,000 pounds behind a Gator XUV. But if you really want to know what it's like to run with us, you just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
You go into your shower feeling, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at Walmart.
Hey, it's Rex here with RexBuysKC.com, your local KC home buyer. If you own a property in the Kansas City or surrounding area and want to sell it fast and at a fair price, write this number down. 816-330-6000. I'm a private real estate investor, not some hedge fund or large national chain. My family and I live right here in KC. I can pay cash and close on your timeline, even in as little as 3 days. Here at RexBuysKC.com, we are improving Kansas City one house at a time. I buy inherited houses, vacant houses, foreclosure houses, behind in payment houses, my tenant won't pay the rent houses, and properties that need complete rehabs. Do you own a house that's trashed and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Great. If you own a house and want to sell it fast, call me at this number, 816-330-6000. That's 816-330-6000, or go to RexBuysKC.com. That's RexBuysKC.com, and I look forward to working with you.
You okay?
Sorry, I can't sleep with this cough.
Sounds like you need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with NyQuil VapoCool. It's NyQuil plus a rush of Vicks vapors.
Whoa.
So you're ready to get some sleep? Thank you, NyQuil VapoCool.
NyQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing nighttime coughing, aching, fever, best sleep with a cold medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Well, it's the Josh Briscoe Show here on 96.5. The Fan just got a text on the text line. Dan from KCK. What's up, Dan? Great win by the Chiefs defense. Blake and Purdy, take care of the Raiders. Take care, Josh. Thank you, Dan. Big time, long time Dan fan here.
Dan's awesome.
Love Dan.
I love Dan.
Great energy as we hope to bring you from 7 to 9 Mondays here during the Chiefs season to the Josh Briscoe Show. The Shrek soundtrack, just for the record, since you've brought us here. Shrek soundtrack really, really holds up. This is going to now keep me from talking about the Chiefs receivers for the next 2 minutes. It's going to really derail everything. But I'm going to revisit this sometime in the back half of the 8 o'clock hour. Matt Verderam of SI will join us at 8. But first, let's lay down a little bit of the context at wide receiver before I am absolutely irrevocably lost to stories about weddings and dances and the Shrek soundtrack. So if you didn't hear already, earlier today, Andy Reid preemptively, very early, on Monday, ruled out Juju Smith-Schuster for the Raiders game coming up this week. It's really... he barely ruled out Rashee Rice on Monday, after the Chargers game. this is really early, and it makes me think that obviously he's assuming some level of seriousness there involving Juju's hamstring. He had spasms on Thursday. They didn't call up anybody from the practice squad. They go out there. He comes off the field after a handful of snaps, and then you get 30-some Sky Moore snaps. That's how that happens. So Juju's already out for week 8. At some point, I'll talk about what Adam Schefter has said in terms of his expectations for what the Chiefs are going to do. Kind of bums me out. But the wide receiver room is obviously, and I think inarguably, in a terrible place right now. But unlike most of the times when a team gets 5, 6, 7 weeks into the season and realizes they've made horrible mistakes, it is because they've made horrible mistakes. It's because somewhere in the process, the evaluation went bad, they overvalued some guys, they undervalued somebody else, and you can point to the front office and say, hey, how did you not see this coming? It's almost where we ended up with the running back room, but Samaje Perine kind of saved the day there, and then Kareem Hunt really saved the day after Pacheco got hurt. I am more than happy to, you know, have our critiques of Veach and Andy Reid or whoever when the opportunity presents itself. But this wide receiver room this year, unlike last year, was not a miscalculation. It was not a mismanagement. It is apocalyptically bad luck that the Chiefs are currently swimming through. Think about the moves they did make to make sure this wouldn't happen to Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce again. They drafted an excellent wide receiver last year, and they were changing their offense to run it through that receiver in his second year. That receiver, of course, being Rashee Rice. They signed a veteran, Hollywood Brown, on maybe the best value contract at the wide receiver position in free agency. I loved that deal for the Chiefs on a one-year deal. And he would have been an unbelievable fit in this offense. And then whatever weird, evil voodoo is in the turf in Jacksonville pops his sternoclavicular joint injury, something I've only ever heard of one other time, Tyreek Hill suffering the same fate in Jacksonville. Hill's recovered without surgery. Hollywood needed the surgery, knocks him out for maybe the entire year, hopefully not, but we'll have to certainly wait until the weather gets a whole lot colder to see Hollywood out there. They drafted a first-round rookie in Xavier Worthy to add more immediate speed while also planning for the long view of Worthy and Rice together for years to come. They even got a little redundancy with Juju Smith-Schuster, knowing that, you know, wherever Hollywood was going to land up in the air at the time. Found an old friend familiar with the offense, brought him back in, gave a safety blanket there to Patrick Mahomes. Smart move that I liked at the time. Lots of people didn't. That was always weird to me. This was a good plan that the Chiefs had. But as good plans frequently meet their fate this way, it blew up. Not anybody's fault. Nobody was sloppy, lazy, forgetful, overestimated. It's just about the worst luck I've seen a team suffer at a position group in quite a while. Strangely enough, the only comparison I can think of right now is all the 49ers skill position players, pass catchers, Christian McCaffrey. But now the Chiefs are back to something resembling square one. They might be at square zero. They might be at square like -4 or -5. Because for all the issues in last year's group, which again was some poor evaluation and some miscalculation, the Chiefs did a lot of really smart things, and they're even worse off. So we'll talk about this throughout the back half of the show today. 2 hours here with you, 7 to 9 on Mondays, except for when the Chiefs are playing. We'll be here on Tuesday that week. But I think privately, not publicly, I don't need Andy Reid to say this to me. I don't need him to say it on a Zoom or at a podium or anything. But privately, the Chiefs need to acknowledge a sense of urgency. Not anybody's fault, just the cards you got dealt. The three-peat is still there. Travis Kelce is still there. Patrick Mahomes, Noah Gray looks like a real weapon in this offense. But you cannot roll through the rest of this season. Your plan A from here cannot be 51 offensive snaps for Justin Watson, one target. It can't be 33 snaps for Sky Moore, no completions. The version of that wide receiver group we saw yesterday is not tenable. Mahomes is one with less. He's one with worse. And obviously they thought that Juju was going to be more capable yesterday than he was ultimately. None of this is about impossibility, though. If you have Patrick Mahomes on your team, and you have an elite defense, an elite head coach, and an elite defensive coordinator, a running game that looks pretty darn good right now, you can win a Super Bowl in a variety of ways. But as the Chiefs made a point this offseason, they're going to have to make a point again, and they're going to have to pay for it again, and that's unfortunate. They need to make Patrick Mahomes' margin for error just a little bit wider. Give him weapons that he can use on the outside, even though you've already tried once. Don't mortgage your future. I wasn't asking for them to trade for Devontae Adams. I would have probably done that Amari Cooper deal. I'm very interested in Deontay Johnson. Still. But the Chiefs are at a point right now they cannot afford to wait around and just hope that things work out. Justin Watson and Sky Moore are not a plan. What is a plan? Matt Verderame of SI. He joins us next on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to The Josh Briscoe Show, Monday night starting at 7 on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
The IRS is ramping up collection, and if you owe back taxes or have years of unfiled tax returns, listen carefully. Before it's too late, check your eligibility for the Fresh Start program still offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax problems. Call our special hotline number now and find out in minutes if you qualify for these life-changing debt reduction programs. Business or personal, if you're in a payment plan with no end in sight, have unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or finally just want to know your options, call the experts at Republic Tax Relief and stop collections immediately. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau with a 5-star rating from Yelp, this veteran-owned company has the fight you need to take on the IRS. Don't go at it alone. Call their hotline number now. 800-554-6899. That's 800-554-6899. Find out if you qualify today. Call 800-554-6899 or go to republictaxrelief.com.
Men, this is Jeff for Heartland Men's Health. It seems like everything we hear these days is about political races, and yet there's a far more important race that you run for yourself every day. It's the race to be the best that you can be. But if your libido is low, if your workouts aren't productive, if you've got brain fog and you're tired all the time, you may feel like you're losing that race, and maybe even that your best days are behind you. But the truth is that they're likely not, because if you're feeling like this, it's probable you're simply suffering from low testosterone, a condition that affects a huge percentage of men as we age. At Heartland Men's Health, we're experts in treating low T. We've successfully treated thousands of men for the condition, and if you're like most guys, you'll start seeing results in just a few weeks. Better sleep patterns, higher energy, improved mental clarity, more productive workouts, and your libido will likely increase as well. So get back to winning your race by calling us. Your initial visit is only $99 and includes blood work and a medical consult. And if you start on testosterone the day of your appointment, your visit is free. Call 844-447-6600 or go to heartlandmenshealth.com.
You're listening to 96.5 The Fan from the Mission Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Studios. Chiefs, Raiders, Sunday at 3:25 right here on 96.5 The Fan, KFNC-FM and AM, HD1 and HD2 Kansas City, in Odyssey Sports Station.
Welcome to the first, second hour of the Josh Briscoe Show here on 96.5 The Fan. I could not be happier about the Shrek-based soundtrack we are bringing to today's show. I, of course, am Joshua Briscoe, James Howell DJing across the glass and bringing all the hits from your favorite big green ogre. I have to imagine, as a man of taste, as a man of culture, that Matt Verderame has nothing but good opinions regarding the entire Shrek franchise. You can see his work in a variety of places. You can read his work about the NFL on Sports Illustrated, SI.com. You can listen to the Matt Verderame Show on Patreon. You can listen to That Football Show with Matt and Tucker D. Franklin on KC Sports Network. Matt, say something nice about the Shrek franchise.
I don't hate it.
Yeah!
I haven't seen Shrek in 20 years, probably. But I did see it, and it was funny, so I'll support it.
It came out 23 years ago. I am turning to dust.
Yeah, I'm ready to pass away. I mean, I also, in related news, got out of my car the other day and just could not get out of the car because my back locked up.
Oh, no.
I was like, okay, I'll be fine, whatever. It's like a spasm. No, 2 weeks later, just still useless. Getting there, but still totally. So that's good. I play pickleball for 3 hours every day, never hurt myself, and got out of my car, and it was just done.
If you, whatever reason you're in town next, if you have any inclination to get a little road pickleball in, please let me know. I love pickleball so much. I was raised in the hard knock streets of Arizona retirement communities when I learned to play pickleball. So like, I feel like I play the game the right way.
Yeah, it's intense. I started playing like a year and a half ago because I figured it's better than being on a treadmill.
Definitely.
And, you know, I can be competitive and try to beat up on the elderly.
Exactly.
And so started doing, and then just got really, really into it. And actually, like, to the point that I had to, like, borderline take a step back into it. But, yeah, I mean, playing tournaments all the time and, yeah, try to win medals so I can give them to the kids. And, yeah, it's a good time.
I don't think I knew you were a tournament level pickleballer, and it gives us something else to talk about.
Fun fact. Now this is going to sound a lot more impressive than it actually is.
Oh, I can't
believe
wait.
Me.
Oh, I can't
but
wait.
I qualified for the Nationals in Dallas in November.
What?
I don't plan on going.
Go.
Yeah, I'm all right. But I played in the Illinois State tournament, and we took home a medal and finished high enough that we actually qualified for the state for the national tournament. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I like playing in tournaments, you know. You know, won some gold, won some silver. It's been good. It's been fun.
That is absolutely remarkable, and I am completely serious about us finding a court next time you're in town. Or maybe I'll come join the Illinois circuit every once in a while. I really do learn something about Matt Verderam every time we talk, and it's because we've talked many, many times over nearly a decade. There's still always a surprise. Again, you can follow him on socials at Matt Verderam. The main thing, SI.com. Matt, in the Chiefs sphere right now, the thing I just now started finally talking about after spending the better part of an hour on the Chiefs defense is, of course, the wide receiver market where things stand now. I'm not mad at Brett Veach about the way that the offseason plan went. The Chiefs took many steps to make sure they would not end up with a depleted wide receiver room again, but here we are after some of the worst injury luck I've ever seen, only maybe rivaled by the 2024 San Francisco 49ers. What can they do at this point? Where is your expectation on if they are going to get a move made by Election Day?
I think they have to.
Yeah.
I don't really think they have an option. They're gonna need to make a move. Now, the question becomes, is that move DeMarcus Robinson?
Right.
Or is that move like a real move? By the way, Baker just threw one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, my God. Had a guy wide open, didn't see him, and then just drilled it right into Marlon Humphrey. The problem is Marlon Humphrey plays for Baltimore. I personally think they should be going after Deontay Johnson.
Yes.
And if it costs you a late third, fine. You have two of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think sometimes the draft people get way too serious about, oh, you don't understand the value of pick 96. Look, I get it. I know it's valuable. I also know that that guy could end up being a scrub who never plays a meaningful down for you. And you're trying to three-peat, and I look at what the Bills did with Cooper, and if I'm the Chiefs, I'm like, yeah, probably should have done that. Like, that's not the worst trade anybody's ever made. So I think they have to make a move. The question's going to be, what is it, and how significant is it?
I'm with you, especially on Johnson, and I am kind of a draft pick guy by and large. Like I want Veach to be responsible. I want him to keep the roughly the same number of picks because you need those rookie contracts to fill out your roster, to spend all this money on the top of your roster. I'm typically in that space, but if you tell me, especially having heard that the Chiefs were interested in Johnson this last offseason, you tell me you can get that deal done for a third, which I would give up a third round pick to have Hollywood Brown magically healthy right now, even knowing that he's on a 1 year deal. You give me Deontay Johnson and then figure out what your plan is based off your evaluation from this offseason. Think, hey, you know what? We think there's a long term plan with him here too. I'm open to all of that because it's not that's not a first round pick for 10 games of Devontae Adams. That's still responsible work to me.
I guess I just look at it like, are you all in or are you not?
Yeah.
And if they win the Super Bowl this year, no matter what it looks like, no matter how they do it, they're the greatest team in NFL history, period. There's no argument. Like, they will have, if they do that, not only is it 3 in a row, it is 5 Super Bowl appearances in 6 years. That's impossible. And you'll win 4 of them? You're the best team ever. So, and look, the other part of it, too, is when you look at the rest of this team is a juggernaut otherwise. They are really good at running the ball. They are phenomenal defensively. Like, I know statistically you can sit there and argue a million different things. They're the best defense in the NFL. Mm. I mean, they have games against really good teams where they make those teams look like the Panthers.
Yeah.
The Niners couldn't get a yard for an entire half of football. Like, just couldn't do anything. Brock Purdy looked like me playing quarterback on Sunday. Okay. So, to me, you got to go for it. You got to just say, hey, look, you know, we're not going to be ridiculously irresponsible or anything, but at some juncture, too, like, you got to go out and try. And if Deontay Johnson's going to cost you your late third, fine. Who, like, I don't want to say who cares because it's a meaningful pick, but, like, all right, fine. The other thing I will say that has to be factored into all this, though, that I do think matters, is what are you doing – you know, in terms of, like, or I guess I should put it this way. What is going on with Hollywood Brown? Is he going to play at the end of the year?
Right.
Is he not? Because I remember talking to people in the building when he went down permanently with the surgery that he finally got. And the thought was, hey, look, he might be out for the year. He might also be back around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, is he going to be back around Christmas? Because if that's the case, maybe they do go a little lighter on the deadline. Maybe they even go after a corner. And they, but now, you know, you're running the risk of if he's not back, then you're in a really rough spot. I just think you go for it. And you know what? If you don't get it, are you ever really going to truly regret it? Are you ever going to look back and go, you know, I really shouldn't have done that? No, I think you're in the moment. You're trying to win. I don't think you could ever be faulted for that.
Yeah, I agree completely there. Because, again, if it was a first and a second round pick to go get Tyreek Hill back or something, that could blow up in a way that would actually derail a year or two of your dynasty. If something crazy happens, right? And Tyreek would, you know, I think he'd be okay in this offense, but you'd be making a lot of different moves financially, cap wise, and obviously with the picks. It would be a swing you'd be worried about. You might get Hollywood back around Christmas. You're almost certainly not getting Rashee Rice back in time for the Super Bowl. So if you have Deontay Johnson and Hollywood Brown going one on, you know, opposite each other or in a bunch together down the stretch and into the playoffs, that's a problem I'm willing to let Andy Reid solve. I am completely okay with that because even this is completely independent of Juju going down yesterday too for me. The reason he wasn't a Chief last season is because the Chiefs knew with his knees there was a level of acceptance that he was going to miss some time here and there. It's also why he was a great addition as the fifth receiver. He helped them win a game already in a major way. But you cannot lean on him as the plan. And Justin Watson got 51 snaps yesterday and got one catch, one target. Sky Moore got 33. He got one target and dropped it. Matt, when I say honest to God, no sarcasm whatsoever, that I think Mecole Hardman needs to get more touches next week.
That's, no question.
That's not a good thing for your offense in 2024. He was on the bubble in training camp.
I agree. You know what? Usually we're dopes when we have these conversations for shtick, but let's be real for a minute. I'm going to actually spin it on you and ask you a question.
Great.
As they are currently constructed, let's say they have no more serious injuries. Can this team win the Super Bowl?
No additions, no more serious losses. Can they? Yes.
Okay. So I agree with you. And the reason I ask that is because I think that's the question Brett Veach has to ask himself. And then he's got to follow up that question with another question, which is, okay, but how do I fortify this team in a way where I don't think it's a, yeah, we can, it's a, yeah, we will.
Yep.
That, to me, becomes the big question. And I think the answer is going out and getting a proven commodity. Doesn't have to be a number one receiver, but it has to be somebody who matters.
Yep.
It can be Darius Slayton. It can be DeAndre Hopkins. It can be, although apparently if he's over 30, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It can be Deontay Johnson. It can be Adam Thielen, whoever you want to throw in there. With all due respect, and I'm only using his name because it's just something that they would seemingly do. It cannot be DeMarcus Robinson, and they just say, well, that's enough. He knows the system. I don't care. That is one of the biggest fallacies in the world. This idea that you just can't possibly play in the Chiefs offense unless you've been in it for 100 years. Like, Amari Cooper rolled into town and had four catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown, and played like 18 snaps.
Yep.
The idea that, like, you just could. I mean, listen. If they bring in Deontay Johnson, all they need is for Mahomes in the huddle to go, hey, Deontay, run a nine route. Okay. Right. I mean, it's not rocket science. They're running one in nine routes. So I do think at some point, if you're the Chiefs, you have to prioritize talent over familiarity and everything else. Now, Jacksonville is a really interesting team because they're terrible. And they have Christian Kirk, and Christian Kirk has been playing in the Chiefs' offense in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And I get it, the base salary and all that. You know what? Give him a better pick and have him eat some of the salary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the first time that's ever happened. I just think if you're Kansas City, you owe it to the team. And quite honestly, you owe it to that defense.
Yep.
That is just absolutely lights out every week.
I think your flipping of that question is a good thing, because can they, yes, how do you responsibly increase your margin for error? How do you, as you said, fortify the parts of this roster that could be the reason you don't? And that's where I think it's Deontay Johnson, or it's a receiver who moves the needle some. I'll say this also, just, you know, you got to let me get to the end of the sentence because I don't believe the first half of it. I'll be fine if they trade for a sixth or seventh round conditional, some sort of pick swap thing for DeMarcus Robinson. But not only that, because they do need a number four receiver too, but they need a number one or two much worse. If you can just knock everybody else down a peg on the depth chart, that seems like a more responsible way to do it for me. But owing it to the defense, owing it to Mahomes, and we're in one of the last 2 years of Travis Kelce, I would assume. He signs essentially a reworked 2-year deal before the season. And I don't know Travis Kelce, but by what we do know about him, I tend to think that when he signed that deal, he was really thinking, like, I fully intend to fulfill this commitment, and this is kind of the exit plan. So you got a still excellent 35-year-old Travis Kelce who's just going to block his tail off and get a lot of attention. That's fine. But you can't make him play like 28-year-old Travis Kelce and take get eight catches a game, get thumped 15 times a game, and expect the entire offense to be based out of just Mahomes to him. I don't think that's responsible at this point.
I agree. And look, again with them, I do think there's nuance to all this because they're 6-0.
Yep.
And they're 6-0 against arguably the hardest schedule in football.
Yep.
I mean, they've been great. Now look, they have had their struggles for sure. The red zone, they were good on Sunday. They've not been good prior to that. Mahomes has had a pick in every single game. Mahomes' numbers, he looks like Daniel Jones by the numbers. it's been insane. I got killed on Twitter yesterday because I basically like, look, he's got to play better.
Yeah.
And people are like, how dare you? I'm like, look, what do you want me to tell you? Like, he would tell you he needs to play better.
He has, yeah. But,
you know, I mean, come on. Like, are we kidding here? But that all said, I still would pick them to win the Super Bowl right now.
Yeah.
Like, right now. Because you know that team in the playoffs. You know he's going to make his eight plays a game. And defensively, I'm to the point with them defensively. I'm expecting Chris Roland Wallace to come in and just basically beat Ty Law.
I kind of am. I'm working on that. I spent a lot of time talking about that in the first hour. I'm sad about Jalen Watson. He's been spectacular.
He's been great.
But maybe Chris Roland Wallace Island is about to become a thing.
You just know with them. It's like they're just going to bring somebody else out there who's great. They'll find somebody. They'll figure it out. They'll protect the kid a little bit.
Yep.
But receivers, a different story. And they've got to figure that out. But I would also say, though, I do think that if you look at them, they have so many more answers to the test than most teams do. because they're so good on special teams, and there's such great coaching. I mean, you could make a real argument. They have the best special teams group in the league. They have the best defense in the league. They have the best quarterback in the league. They have the best coaching staff in the league. They have what, a top, if it's not the best interior of the offensive line, it's top three.
Yep.
They have a tight end room that even with the diminished Kelsey, Noah Gray, I mean, that's a top flight tight end room. Like, the running backs, Kareem Hunt has basically come in and found a way to beat Father Time. I don't know what's going on with him, but every time he touches a ball, he gains six.
Yep.
I just think if you're Brett Veach, you have to sit there and say to yourself, if we can even get the receivers to average, the rest of the damn team is so good that you're not going to get beat. And you're going to need somebody to go in there an Arrowhead in January and play an absolute A++ game. And the Chiefs are probably going to have to not play well.
Yep.
And if that doesn't happen, like, they're going to win. And I think that has to be kind of the mindset here. You have an extra third-round pick, so that also helps you. And then how do you go about it? But look, there's a lot of avenues to take.
We're talking to Matt Verderam here on The Josh Briscoe Show. The Matt Verderam Show is available on Patreon. It's Matt getting into the weeds with the Chiefs. Plus, you can read and listen to him giving the national scope a little look over on Sports Illustrated and KC Sports Network. Matt, I have a very simple question for you that I think probably has a pretty complicated answer. You said somebody would have to come into Arrowhead, blah, 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 blah. Who's that somebody we should be worried about? Who's the second best team in the AFC right now?
Okay, so I think those are two different answers.
Ooh, I want them both.
Baltimore is the second best team in the conference.
Yeah, I agree.
I know some people would say Buffalo, and I actually think Buffalo was underrated coming into the year. But I also think that Buffalo has shown in the playoffs that they don't play defense. And you can just go after them in the playoffs. And they, I mean, the Bengals have let them up. Chiefs have let them up a million times. I think Baltimore, who also has had its issues in the playoffs, I think because of that ground attack, they can do so many things. As Mayfield throws another pick to Marlon Humphrey.
Oh, boy.
it's a quadruple coverage.
Oh, God, I just saw that. Four people hitting each other.
like Todd Bowles is looking across the field right now like he's ready to find an escape hatch. But in any event, I think Baltimore is the second-best team in the conference. However, I think the only team that could go into Arrowhead and beat them, if the Chiefs play a really good game, ironically, is Cincinnati.
Oh, that's spicy, Matt.
They're it. I'll tell you right now, I'll stand by this. I don't think Buffalo's going in there and beating them in the playoffs. I could see Buffalo winning in a month from now.
Yeah?
I could see that. But in the playoffs, it's a whole other deal. And I think the Chiefs, even with their receiving corps, would have 35 points on the board. Because that's just they do it to them every time they see him in a meaningful game.
Nope.
I don't think Baltimore would run on the Chiefs. The Chiefs have just owned Lamar in his career. And Houston, you know as well as I do, look, if they play each other week 16, the Chiefs don't have to win that game. Spagnuolo is going to treat it like a preseason game.
Yes.
And then they're going to see each other in the playoffs, and C.J. Stroud's going to walk to the line and be like, oh, my God. What are they like? What is happening? And I think Cincinnati is the one team. They have no fear of them.
Yep.
They will walk in there and they will say, "We are going to kick in your door, and we're going to win this game." Anarumo gives them all kinds of problems. Now without Watson, they can't just single up the two receivers. Like the Bengals to me are the biggest threat to them. If they don't play the Bengals and they're even reasonably healthy from here on out, I think they'll go back to the Super Bowl.
I love it. I also love getting to talk to you again, Matt. We got to get out of here. I got to take four breaks in an hour, and I'm trying to get used to the timing of all of this. But, man, it's been good to chat with you again, and I think I'll go ahead and try to get a few extra minutes of your Monday night free time coming up again soon. Thank you, Matt.
No problem. Take care.
Shrek superfan Matt Verderam. You can read his work on SI.com. That's Sports Illustrated. Check out the Matt Verderam Show on Patreon and that football show on KC Sports Network. My name is Joshua Briscoe. This is The Josh Briscoe Show. We'll take a timeout, come back, and talk a little more about that receiver conversation we were just having next in 96.5 The Fan. I can't promise a hero, but I can promise about half an hour more of fabulous Chiefs content here on 96.5 The Fan. It's the Josh Briscoe Show. I am Josh Briscoe. James Howell pushing the buttons, DJing the Shrek tunes. really getting this show off on the right foot. It's the first edition of the Josh Briscoe Show, and except for Chiefs Bucks on Monday Night Football in a couple of weeks, we'll be here every Monday night from 7 to 9. We'll be here Tuesday evening after the Buccaneers game, which will also be the day after the NFL trade deadline. There's also stuff going on in the world then that we will not be dealing with while we're talking about the trade deadline and whatever happens in Chiefs Buccaneers. But I am glad to be talking about the moves they could, maybe should, still be making at this point at the wideout spot. Just broke it down with Matt Verderam. Again, check out his work on SI.com. An all-around excellent read, listen, follow. If you couldn't tell, I love talking to Matt. I've done that many times over the years. But I want to talk about the receivers a little bit more and see if I could offer one piece of optimism and one piece of pessimism from a few guys who are currently technically on the Kansas City Chiefs roster. Let's start with the upshot. A miss is a miss. An incompletion is an incompletion. You say, well, if this happened, yeah, that a lot of good, actually, more accurately, a lot of bad sports talk radio over the years has been devoted to, well, yeah, but if only. Nobody really gets paid by if only, and no one gets rings for if only. But I want to acknowledge that this entire conversation that we're having about the Chiefs offense, the entire conversation we're having about wide receivers, would all feel pretty different if Patrick Mahomes puts a little bit more air under the deep shot to Xavier Worthy. This isn't a Mahomes criticism. Just think about the alternate timeline here. 71-yard touchdown to Xavier Worthy instead of Xavier Worthy getting his feet tangled up, slipping, falling, whatever, and Mahomes getting picked off the next play. It would have been 21-6 Chiefs 10 seconds into the second half. Now, this is not an argument for inaction. This is not an argument for building the entire offense out of nothing but Xavier Worthy deep shots and Travis Kelce chain movers, really maybe Noah Gray chain movers. But what Patrick Mahomes cannot afford to do, and he knows this, he cannot afford to give up that on that reality coming through at some point very soon. Because Worthy was there. And Worthy was there for some of those shots against the Saints, too. Some that Mahomes saw and didn't take, some that he didn't see. Again, just in case I'm new to many of you, which I'm sure I am, I always try to give appropriate respect to how bleeping difficult quarterback is, NFL football is, the number of moving parts. So when I'm discussing Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterback currently living, who I believe when he retires one day in 40 or 50 years after 30 to 40 Super Bowls, I think he will be widely considered by anyone who knows ball to be the greatest quarterback of all time. He must continue to trust Xavier Worthy and to give the ball to Xavier Worthy, because that relationship, that chemistry, that success between those two, it's helpful in week 5, week 7, but it's vital in week 20. It's the most important part of this offense from an explosive play perspective. Worthy's the guy that can present that to you. We saw Rashee Rice get a real uptick in his usage around the, week 10, week 12 mark last year. And some of this can be coaching. Some of this can be Andy Reid putting more on Xavier Worthy's plate that's not just the deep stuff. And they're working on that now. I think there's still more room to grow there. And he's a rookie. And he's a young rookie. And he's a 175-pound rookie. I don't need Worthy to get 15 targets next week against the Raiders. But that relationship is so important for where the Chiefs go from here. There's also something they cannot afford to do, and I'll talk about that when we come back here on 96.5 The Fan. Little time left in today's edition of the Josh Briscoe Show, the maiden voyage here on 96.5 The Fan, with you from 7 to 9 Monday nights throughout the Chiefs season. Nothing but bangers. Music speaking, takes wise, I'm sure that's a mixed bag. But the music, nothing but hits. loosely and directly inspired by the Shrek soundtrack this evening. The exact energy I wanted to bring. Thank you, James, for bringing the heat. We've been tiptoeing around some of the receiver stuff. I'm going to just pick up exactly where we left off last segment. I told you Xavier Worthy, the whole picture looks different if Mahomes hits him downfield and then instead of the next play throwing an interception, instead the next play is them kicking an extra point, the vibe would be very different. And I think there is good news to be had with the Xavier Worthy long-term view. The bad news is that the Chiefs now in two consecutive weeks have activated only five wide receivers, the remaining five on the active roster who were healthy at the time, including yesterday when they knew that Juju Smith-Schuster was questionable with a hamstring that had him limited on Thursday. He clearly aggravated it, and I mean, really, at this point, something worse happened to that hamstring because Andy Reid earlier today already ruled him out for Raider Week. There are a couple of guys that got a lot of run on Chiefs Twitter. We wrote about them both a lot on ChiefsOnSI.com, which you can read all of my writing at the time over on the SI on SI network over there. I'm sure everybody here was talking about these guys a lot during camp. We fall in love with the training camp darlings. We've fallen in love with Justin Ross a couple of times. This summer was the Nico Remigio summer. But 2 weeks in a row, the Chiefs said, and again, especially yesterday, knowing that Juju was at least a little bit questionable in the most literal sense, they just rolled with the guys they had, which led to a lot of Justin Watson, and frankly, honestly, just too much Sky Moore. There's a lot more growth for Xavier Worthy still. His potential is nowhere near tapped, obviously. But I'm not going to wait on Justin Ross season or Nico Remigio season. Remigio could be a special team weapon of some sort. Maybe if Mecole Hardman also got hurt, maybe Remigio would get the call. One of those guys has to get the call this week. You've got to have at least five receivers who can be out on the field. And look, again, you just heard me say, like, simply, Sky Moore can't be on the field as much as he is, or as much as he was yesterday. Just can't happen.
I haven't heard a more truer statement all night long.
And, like, unless a member of the Moore family is listening, which I do apologize, like, he seems like a nice fella and, like, he's doing his best. But no one on earth disagrees with that statement. The reason the Chiefs keep putting him out there, I think, is because as we saw in the preseason, I don't know how close you all were watching Justin Ross in the preseason, Justin Ross cannot block. It's like the sixth most important thing a wide receiver can do, but the Chiefs are happy to let Sky Moore block on the outside. Justin Ross could not move a body. In fact, he could not keep his own body from moving. Nico Remigio is a little guy, by NFL football standards at least. So I think that they're doing some sort of utility play with Sky Moore there. Mahomes doesn't want to throw him the ball. He doesn't create separation. It's not going to be fruitful. It's not going to benefit the offense overall. But I do think his blocking is part of it. I don't know if I ever got to this Justin Watson stat earlier as well. So I mentioned that he took 51 snaps yesterday against the Niners. 51 of 70. That's 73% of yesterday's snaps. That's the most snaps for a Chiefs wide receiver in two consecutive games, Justin Watson. He has played 239 offensive snaps this year. James, play a game with me. How many targets do you believe Justin Watson has this year, having been on the field for 239 offensive snaps? Some of those runs, certainly. Some of those routes.
Sure. A dozen?
Oh, you're so close, but for the benefit of the game, you overshot it.
Okay.
How do you feel about nine? He's getting a great cardio workout, and he can keep the defense honest down the field. I understand there's utility to that. There is. I have no beef with Justin Watson. He's just not an actual weapon in this offense. He's He's cosplaying as an NFL wide receiver outside. He does useful things, but you cannot make him a part of the offensive game plan in the way that you need someone to be able to. If Watson's your third receiver and he's playing that like borderline last year's MVS role a little bit by, again, stretch the defense, push him downfield, just make him believe you got speed, and maybe eventually you hit him down there. He can always run a corner route. Once every 2 weeks, he turns into Randy Moss on a corner. But that can't be your second highest snapping wide receiver, and right now he is. Xavier Worthy is a rookie who's still getting his feet under him, who Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are both still learning to trust. It's just a dangerous place to be. And I'm glad Verderam asked the question in reverse 30 minutes ago. Can this exact Chiefs team, you freeze this Chiefs team in carbonite, you pop it into the wild card round, or maybe in the divisional round, get the first round bye you got right now. Can this Chiefs team win a Super Bowl? Absolutely. Because a team with Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, a pretty good offensive line, a very good interior, Andy Reid calling the plays, and a defense that is performing incredibly well with two elite superstars on it, of course that team can win the Super Bowl. But it's going to take every break you can possibly get along the way. And I do want it to still be fun. I do still want to see the high-flying weaponry pay off in the way that we've seen it in years past. Last year was a slog. Last year was a difficult season for this team, week in and week out. They still won the Super Bowl. They can repeat that performance. I'd just rather have a little more fun along the way. I think we're going to see the Chiefs do something at wide receiver. What exactly? I'll call Brett Veach during the break and let you know what he says. We got one in character! James says this is from Shrek the Third. This is the Josh Briscoe Show, the first. Couldn't think of a better way to ring it in. I'm Josh Briscoe. That's James Howell on the other side of the glass. We've got a little bit of time. Let's talk about a couple of Chiefs things before we get out of here. And then I'll talk to you next on these airwaves here at 96.5 The Fan with CDOT on Wednesday, Cody and Gold on Friday, and then back with Fesco and Dusty in the morning on Mondays. And then I'll be back here again a week from now. Same time, same place, same frequency. James and I started talking about the running backs in the middle of the commercial break, which I understand isn't very helpful for you listening because you didn't get to hear that. James made a fun point about how we're like borderline Marty Ball territory right now, defense, running game, all of that. I like the idea of Marty Ball captained by Patrick Mahomes. That seems good to me. Nate Tice formerly from the Athletic Football Show, now with Yahoo. He tweeted yesterday that 13 of the 30 running back rushes were successful for the Chiefs against the Niners. Their first explosive running back run of the year came on Kareem Hunt's 13-yarder, which is a pretty perfect encapsulation of how the running game has kept the offense on time this year. I can't explain it, and I certainly wouldn't have predicted it. I can maybe explain a smidge. But Kareem Hunt does not look 29 years old. In running back years, that is a septuagenarian. And he does not have the straightaway speed. He does not have the breakaway speed. He's not the exact same guy he was when he left Kansas City. That much is obvious. But the remarkable consistency with which he picks up what you can call successful runs, and that's not just a random term. It's context dependent, right? On third and one, a 2-yard run is successful. On first and 10, a 2-yard run is not successful. We're getting success rate kind of into the verbiage a little more mainstream. I think it's a good thing because it helps you realize not all 3-yard runs are created equal. The fact that Hunt, we saw it pay off in the red zone. We've seen it yesterday, finally, after the red zone woes they've had so far. We've seen him on a first down clock killing drive. Just go get 4, 5, 6. Maybe Carson Steele will come in here and get a few more. It can be and gotta have it third and short. The Chiefs have found something here, and I'm not trying to push Isaiah Pacheco out of the way. I think the best version of this offense includes Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. I do not care what order. Both getting 10 to 14 touches a game. Because, my goodness, it's hard enough being a defensive lineman, a linebacker, a safety in the NFL as it is. Congratulations. You've been playing defense throughout the course of the game. Welcome to a pretty spry, pretty fresh, pretty healthy Kareem Hunt or Isaiah Pacheco, who are now suddenly a halftime player. Because they can split that workload and both keep this offense doing what it needs to do. That's an incredible thing that I'm genuinely excited for, and I cannot believe that in 2024, I'm saying that Kareem Hunt and Mecole Hardman are two of the guys that are going to keep this offense afloat while they figure out what to do with all these injuries. It's really incredible. But that's not how I want to end the show today. I want to end the show today by giving a public service announcement to people who probably are not listening to this show right now. If you're a Chiefs fan listening right now, as I imagine you are, this is not for you, but you probably don't want to turn the dial. Here's the lesson I'd like to offer to lots of people who have struggled with this lesson over the years. You can lose without being a loser. But man, there are a lot of losers out here, folks. Obviously, Twitter, X, whatever, is like a putrid hellscape that frequently now has bots having conversations with each other in mentions. It's like a genuinely weird place to be right now as someone who spent a lot of time on Twitter for way too much of his life. So you don't need to go into those mines unless you have a real sickness or some legitimate reason to. Unfortunately, I have both. But man, the things that Patrick Mahomes inspires people to say online. There was a Bills account and then also some 49ers account. Nothing official, you know, fan-run things for fan pages or podcasts or whatever, but based out of Buffalo and San Francisco. Tweeting about that long Mahomes 30-whatever-yard scramble down the sidelines. This Bills account said that when Patrick Mahomes stopped running, let Dre Greenlaw run in front of him, Kareem Hunt was in there blocking as well, for the record. That little hezzy move that Mahomes put on, this account tweeted, was an absolute Bush League move from Mahomes. Excuse me. But Bush League? Because he hesitated? Because he put a little juke in? Somebody on Twitter made this point earlier. Again, you know, it's not all bad. But if that was a running back, it would be, oh, what a highlight. Or honestly, do you know what it looked like? It looked like that high school highlight of Lamar Jackson a little bit. Not quite as dramatic. That Lamar Jackson highlight, if you know what I'm talking about, it is unfathomable. But he's just sprinting down. And Isaiah Likely did it to, I don't remember which Chiefs defender it was in week one. Sprint down the sidelines, throw on the brakes, and then pick it up again. But there are people bemoaning the fact that everyone's afraid of hitting quarterbacks. You don't want to get a 15-yard roughing penalty, so you just pull up and you let the quarterback just step out of bounds very politely. Patrick Mahomes is a rusher fully in bounds, pulling the e-brake while Greenlaw flies past him out of bounds. And you know why that play got discussion from branches of Bills Twitter, Niners Twitter, Bengals Twitter? It's because they couldn't talk about the refs after Chiefs Niners. There wasn't something else to blame the game on. The Niners got punked by Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense. The Chiefs offense, with Yumi and James playing wide receiver, did plenty to win, 1 by 10. And so all you can do is write fan fiction about how Patrick Mahomes is actually a poor sport because he put a great move on a really good defender. And this is where losing creates losers. It's in this exact headspace. We see it every week when there's a chance to make it about the refs. When the refs can't be blamed, you find something else to whine about. By the way, you see the final game of the WNBA Finals overshadowed by poor refereeing. You see every college football game impacted by poor refereeing. I don't know what is even happening exactly, but I just saw Carrington tweet, no one knows what helmet-to-helmet rules are from one of the Monday Night Football games currently happening. This is not a Chiefs thing. It's not even an NFL thing. It's very difficult to be an official, a referee, an umpire in any sport across the globe. But we get better from home at seeing it in slow-mo, the zoom-in. We know what actually happened. The refs in real time need more help from above. The NFL's trying that this year. Referees are generally just not very good at hitting that 100% consistency mark that you'd like to find. The Chiefs are on the wrong side of those 50-50 calls just as often as they're on the right side of them. But when you're looking for the patterns, or when you're looking for a reason to blame Patrick Mahomes for something that he just did that made your defense look bad, you will find it anywhere. I think Patrick Mahomes should wear that as a badge of honor. If you're a Chiefs fan engaging with everyone else on social media, you can decide how you want to navigate that. Most of the time, it's probably not worth your time. And sometimes it's probably pretty fun. Because as I tweeted earlier, the flawed man that I am, fellas, is it Bush League to hesitate? Do the refs love Mahomes when he gets throat punched and no flag comes out? And I'm not complaining about the no call, because no calls happen. Bad calls happen. But it seems like when you lose a football game to the boogeyman you can never overcome, you find other things to complain about. We've been living La Vida Loca here on the Josh Briscoe Show here on 96.5 The Fan for the last couple of hours. My enormous appreciation to you for joining us on this maiden voyage. I'll be back to do it again next Monday night as well. And my thanks to James Howell on the other side of the glass for keeping us on air, teaching me where the buttons are, and bringing those Shrek-themed hits that we need. I'll pick a different DreamWorks movie for next week, maybe. Really, I'm an over-the-hedge guy through and through, but that goes back to the possum thing we talked about earlier. Love a good little wildlife critter. Looking forward to Raider Week. Looking forward to talking to you next week. This has been the Josh Briscoe Show. Till next time, bye, Mom.